Welcome to the Shiny Brightly Show. I'm Howard Brown, author, speaker, Silicon Valley entrepreneur, international peacemaker, and yes, a two-time stage four cancer patient survivor and advocate. Each episode will take you from resilience to hope and a whole lot more, because shining brightly does make the world a better place. Be prepared to be inspired.
Hello, it's Howard Brown. It's the Shining Brightly Show. Oh my goodness. I have a very dear friend, a very special guest, Karen Pulver. How are you and welcome?
Thank you so much, Howard. So glad to be here.
It's so nice to see you. You've got such an incredible story that I want to share with the audience tonight. And you're really an incredible person. And you're beautiful inside and out. I want everyone to know that right now, as we become friends and you've done coaching for me. So I want to say I really appreciate you and thank you for coming on. All right. So let me tell you a little bit about Karen. She is the multifaceted individual, and you have had a remarkable journey. You are a podcaster, a model, actress, a mother, and a teacher. We're going to ask about that in a little more detail about that. A cancer and a stroke survivor. Karen's passion for empowering women led her to found a women's group in Chicago called the Grateful Goddesses. Within this group, women gathered in various venues to listen to inspiring speakers and engage in activities curated by Karen to enhance their lives. What a beautiful mission. So in 2009, you established the Grateful Goddesses, and then you actually started to share your challenge of being diagnosed with cancer. We're going to talk about that. I'm going to let you share a little bit more about that. But you grew strength from this group yourself, even though you were actually basically leading it as well. In 2019, as the pandemic hit, you launched the podcast of the same name as a virtual platform because we weren't gathering. But you were bringing together people all over the world. And you are basically expanding, the physical aspects, the mental aspects, and the spiritual aspects of dealing with the pandemic, dealing with, being a woman and also a mom and in the pandemic. And these personal interactions on part of your weekly show allowed you to really learn from them. And you all became, a tight-knit group. And next phase of your life, you actually turned all this wonderful knowledge to be a coach. And you actually at the Adler School of Psychology. And then all of a sudden you were struck down again with a stroke. And we got to talk about that because this is an incredible story. But you have all this in your goddess toolbox and you rehabilitated yourself. Your resilience, your positivity do shine through. And that's why you're shining brightly with me tonight. And you've navigated these health challenges and you are moving forward and you are helping others. And at the end of the day, that's really what it's all about. And so you have a motto here. You always had the power, my dear. You just have to realize it. That's beautiful. And you are a beacon of positivity, empowerment, and you embody the spirit of growth and transformation. So that's a beautiful introduction, but tell me something that we may not know about you. Let's share a little secret about Karen. What do you got for me?
Well, I can tap dance.
Ooh, I did not know that.
I know you didn't. And I love to dance. And I took tap dancing when I was young. And when the pandemic hit, I ordered these tap dance shoes because, we couldn't go anywhere. Yeah. So I went in my basement and I put music on and I just tap away. And it's really fun.
And it's therapeutic too.
It's so therapeutic.
Oh my God, I did. That's a great surprise. You're tapping. Oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
Well, take me through a little bit as far as roll back a little bit, to either your upbringing or actually you became a teacher. And that's like the noblest profession there is. Tell me about how you became a teacher.
Well, I was not a good student. I didn't learn to read till I was in third grade. And now as a teacher, looking back at my childhood, I believe I must have had a learning challenge because I could not seem to pick it up. I had a lot of trouble. And my mom took me to a tutor, finally, in third grade. And I connected with her. And she just really encouraged me. A lot of it was confidence. I think. And I learned to read. So as I got older, I realized that I wanted to help kids, you know, who would be struggling, and to help them to overcome whatever it was that they were having challenges in school. And that's one of the main reasons why I became a teacher. I loved working with kids. I love being with kids. I love seeing their eyes light up when they learn something, because kids are not gone through all the social stuff that adults have. So, like, you know, they love to play, and I love to play. As you can see, I love to tap dance. So I just have fun being a teacher. And I also know that I'm really helping these children.
Yeah. And I mean, here's the thing. You're like a Renaissance woman, because you're a model and an actress, and you've done quite a lot, and you've been through a lot. So the Grateful Goddesses. Okay. How did you come up with that? And it's really cool. And I have to tell you, I'm going to confess, as you invited me to your show and present my cancer journey with another young woman's cancer journey, it was a great honor to be on your show. I'm so grateful for that. And thank you. But tell me how it all began and why you did it.
Well, I was a teacher and a mom of three kids. As my kids were getting older, I was working part-time as a teacher, but there was something missing. I wasn't sure what it was. I knew actually that I wanted to model when I was younger, be a model and an actress. So I first did that. I first took some acting classes. I had some headshots done, and that was great. And that was fun. And that's today I do a little bit of that, but I still felt something. I couldn't quite pinpoint what it was. So one day I dropped my kids off at school and I just decided to go for a walk. And I walked and walked in the city, and I just stumbled upon a dance studio. And I went in and I signed up for a cardio striptease. And I know it sounds like crazy, like, are you going to strip? No, it wasn't stripping. It was dancing and moving around. She just called it cardio striptease to get women's attention. But it was such a freeing, fun activity that I decided that even though I was a dancer, I never danced like that. So I felt so elated stepping out of my box. And that was, you know, a small box because I was a dancer. So I thought, how great would it be if I could bring this to people and really encourage them to try something new and to learn new things? So that's how the gatherings formed. The Grateful Goddess name was just when I was in the shower once and I was just feeling so grateful. And I don't know, maybe I was using a goddess razor. I don't know if it's called goddess. No, I was feeling really like we all are goddesses. Like we're all just have so much in us that needs to come through. And that's how that happened. So these were gatherings in the city of Chicago at different venues. Right. And it was a really great experience. We learned a lot of things from different guests. And then, as I mentioned to you, I then had cancer. Yeah. So that halted things a little bit.
I know it. And so any shows that stand out, or any lessons from interviewing so many people and meeting and gathering too?
Yeah. First of all, just the fun topics. You know, we covered fashion. I had finances, but teaching us, you know, how to handle finances. But that was good because you feel really empowered that you can do these things, and makeup and all of those kinds of things. But I also interviewed women and men. This was my first interview, was this gentleman, Jason Robel, and he wrote this book. He's a vegan chef. So I learned how to eat. I never was for 2 years. I tried it. I liked it, but I still, you know, switched back. I learned from, I just have a few books of people. Ellen Schwartz. She actually talks about lessons in life, and just like, we can't change the challenges we face, but we can change how we deal with them, for example, right? So a lot of those kinds of lessons came through. This was one of my favorite interviews. It's Dr. Edith Eger. She's a Holocaust survivor and a psychologist, and she wrote The Choice. And she talks about, you know, she survived Auschwitz. Every day she'd get up and make the choice of how she was going to live her day. And she had hope. And having hope is something that has gotten me through my challenges. That's probably the biggest lesson that I've learned is from her.
So you and I share that because the last chapter of my book, which you know, is called Sharing Hope. So that's the fuel that gets us through for sure. So now you're diagnosed with cancer. Do you want to share some details?
Well, as a matter of fact, today, April 1st, is my cancerversary. You didn't know this.
No.
And if you're listening, a cancerversary is the year, well, every cancer survivor does different, but this was the day that I got the phone call.
Yeah.
And my whole world stopped. I actually felt like I was in the best shape of my life, and everything seemed to be running really smoothly with the kids and everything. And I had a bump on my back, and I didn't know what it was, and it was itchy. It kind of felt like a mosquito bite.
Yeah.
And my husband, he's like, get it looked at. And I had three doctors tell me it was nothing. Don't worry about it. Grew and it got blacker and harder and weird. So I said, I just want to get it out. So I went to a surgeon who then said, well, I can take it out, but you know, you're going to have a really big scar. I'm like, I don't care. Just get it out. So she took it out. And then a week later, they had biopsied it, because that's what they do.
Yeah.
Just precaution. And I got the phone call that I needed to come in. And then I was diagnosed with B-cell non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and I needed radiation, and that was my cancer that I
had. You did not have chemotherapy. You did it by radiation.
Yes. I actually had what a lot of people said was the good cancer to have. I mean, cancer is cancer. I personally don't think that any cancer is a good one to have. However, it was slow growing. I caught it stage one. Had I ignored my gut instinct to get it removed, it would have probably spread. And got to a, you know, so people listening, just take precautions. If you have anything that you're not sure about, and even if doctors are, I had three tell me it was nothing. If you feel it, go check it out.
Oh, 100%. Now, I had T cell lymphoma, which is blood cancer of the lymphatic system, but I was stage four, and I had this big red and purple golf ball come out of my cheekbone, and that was my tell. And if it didn't come out, I wouldn't be here, because I wouldn't have known, because I actually felt pretty good. And I was in the best shape of my life, and I was 23 then.
Right.
I also, I agree with you 100%. So I have to tell you, during my, you know, my motivational speeches that I do, I stop in the middle and I tell everyone, if you're not your best you, okay, what are you doing? And during the pandemic, people didn't go to their doctor's appointments. So they didn't get their mammography. They didn't go to their lady doctor. They didn't get the men for prostate, or all of us for colonoscopy, or even go to the dentist. Getting screened gives you a better chance, okay, if anything bad happens. And I also agree with you. There's no good cancer, bad cancer. It's pretty all bad for the most part. It's tough when you get those, you know, that phone call. And then lastly, we're just coming off of colorectal cancer awareness, and all the cancers have colors. Lung is white, and breast cancer is pink. Colorectal cancer is blue. Prostate is teal. There's all colors on the wheel. And I wear blue almost every day, if not, or I have a little blue pin, lapel pin. And it's also for the people in treatment, because I will tell you this: radiation, surgery, chemotherapy, the side effects, clinical trials, all that is no fun when you're in treatment, no matter if it's just, you know, something that is being treated that's fairly small or large, it all matters. And lastly is that I wear blue to commemorate those that lost their cancer battle, that their cancer burden came too great and got called to heaven. So I agree with you so much on that. And what did you learn from that? Is that one, you learned to get checked and follow your gut. That's the key.
A big lesson, but I also learned, you know, at first I thought, oh, I'm going to change everything. I'm going to change my diet. I exercise every day, but I'm going to exercise twice a day. I'm going to do this. I just kept thinking about what can I do now? But it wasn't really about that. That was kind of like a New Year's resolution that lasts a month and then fades away. Sure. I mean, I like to have a glass of wine. I like chocolate. I like, you know, but what I did do that I found was a big change was I changed my mental state a lot. I started to set up boundaries with people that I hadn't done before. I mean, I wasn't mean, but I said no to things. I wouldn't take on as much as I did before, because I think that stress has a very big part in it. And it's not that I was stressed at the time, but I was thinking, what was it? What was it? You know? And I thought, well, maybe I just need to take care of my mental state more. So I when I was tired, I would go take a nap. Sometimes you fight those things because you're like, oh no, I got to be up the whole day. Well, no, I need to take a nap. I need to take care of myself. I need to maybe not be friends with that person because they're really draining. I'm going to do that. So all of those kinds of things from the cancer I learned, because not that they told me you're going to die from this, but what I was told by my oncologist is that I'm on watch and wait, and I'm still on it. So I go every year, and that my life might be shortened. Well, hearing that kind of sucks, but at the same time, it's a bit of a wake up call, because even though I have the good cancer, it's kind of like a scar, and you don't want to like open up the wound, right? So you got to take care of yourself. So I learned how to physically and mentally take care of myself.
I love that discipline. It's really good. And also the way that you're were able to weed out the negativity or people that were draining to you, that is hard to do. I actually did that as well the second time around, and it is hard to do, but it is important to do in your time of need. It really is. All right, you got your life back. You're back on track. You're healthy for a period of time. And then lightning struck again. Tell me about this scary episode of a stroke.
14 years went by. And
right. So you're raising your kids. You're doing your thing. Life is good.
When you have your five-year cancerversary, you're like, oh, yes. And then when you have your 10, oh, yes. Well, last year, February, again, a date. You know, April 1st is the cancer one, and February 12th is the stroke one. But I was in New Orleans with my husband visiting my daughter, and we were out to lunch. And that morning, I just was tired. And I just was almost like hungover, but I had two drinks the night before. I wasn't hungover, but that really lethargic feeling. We went to lunch, and I wasn't hungry. And next thing I knew, I'm talking to my husband, and my head just flopped down on the table. And I was what's called locked in. I didn't know it at the time. I didn't know what was happening. I thought maybe I fainted, but I was still totally alert and awake. So that's called locked in. So basically, I was grunting and crying, but I couldn't speak. I could hear, I could see, but I couldn't move, and I couldn't communicate. I didn't know what was happening. So they took me to the hospital, and subsequently, when they did the scan, they saw that I had a midbrain bilateral stroke. So I had a clot that had split in two and went in, you know, the two sections of my brain. And I was paralyzed like that for a couple hours until it cleared. It did clear on its own. And usually they administer something called a TPA to help shrink the clots. And that's what they were going to do. But in the interim of me waiting for them to get that ready, my body managed to clear them. And I still don't quite understand that, but the neurologist said to me that because I was in good physical health before, you know, I'm not diabetic, I don't smoke, moderate drinker, exercise, eat well, that my body was like almost like when you have a virus and your body attacks it, right? So my body was able to do it. And I did suffer because I had a brain injury. I do have some challenges as a result of that. I mean, the cancer, I have a scar on my back from the radiation, and you're tired, but then you get better, right? Oh, you feel better. But the stroke definitely set me back harder than cancer did.
So I hadn't heard of locked-in syndrome until we had talked about it. And I mean, I can't even imagine it. I mean, it is like being paralyzed to an extent, right? You couldn't talk. You couldn't really move, right?
I couldn't move. Yeah. I couldn't move. And I heard everything going on around me, and I wanted to scream. Like in my head, there was like a little girl, Karen, or a little woman, Karen, who was talking. You know the movie Inside Out?
Yeah.
With the characters in the brain? That's what it felt like. It felt like there was a whole mission control in my brain that was totally working and going, oh, she's having, you know, things are happening, hurry, hurry. But my body was not reacting. And then it turned on. It was like when you shut off a computer.
Yeah,
and then
reboot.
It reboots. That's what happened to me.
You rebooted, and then the body took, otherwise they were going to have to, you know, get in there. And also, there's either in a stroke, it's blood loss to the brain, correct?
Yes.
Wow. Scary. That is absolutely scary. It's just incredible. So, I mean, how did that going forward? I mean, again, I have to tell you, I don't use it out of convenience, but I have a form of PTSD. It's called chemo brain or brain fog. And really what it turns out is I can't remember names anymore. And I was so good at names. But I do have trouble. So that's not the end of the world. But there's people that do complain of that. I mean, I know that, you know, Vietnam veterans or just regular people have seen battle have it. But a lot of cancer patients also do have that as well. And do you have any lasting effects from this?
Stroke or cancer?
The stroke.
Oh, yeah, definitely. At first, my balance was off and I fell quite a bit. I was in the hospital for a couple of days. And then when they released me, they didn't necessarily give me rehab. They didn't think I needed rehab right away anyway. But so I would walk and fall, and it wasn't good. So I had to work on my balance. And there was a pool at my daughter's building where we were staying. So I started like going in the pool and just walking. So if you fall, you fall in the pool. So my physical has definitely gotten better. Every now and then when I practice yoga, because I practice a lot, my right side is dominant, but my right side is less now. But it's the thing is, Howard, it's very minute. Like, it's such a small difference physically. Mentally too, I forget things all the time, but now it's a deeper, it's like a deeper forgetting. There'll be a word in my head and it's right there. Before it would be like not there and you just forget it. But now like it's like there and it's like stuck and I can't always say it. So a lot of times I'll pause and I'll be like, okay, you know, like the, you know, what's it called? You know, that thing. And trust me, I was really worried that it would affect my teaching, my coaching, my friends, being with my husband. I mean, my kids were getting frustrated. But, you know, I have to remind them. I have had speech and memory processing therapy. And I've been told that, you know, I have to advocate for myself. And I'm also in a stroke support group. So I met with other individuals who look like me, like we're in our mid-50s, you know, I'm 57, like there's a few of us that are that age. And if you look at us, you think you're totally fine. And right. A lot of people say that to me, oh, you look great, you're fine. I'm like, no. But I try. Every day I learn something new, I try something new, and some things become my habits, and some things, you know, I just keep practicing, I just keep going.
Yeah, invisible disabilities are real, and it's hard for people to recognize that. You've persevered through so much, because I've been one of your coaching clients, we won't reveal what goes on between you and I, because that's, you know, privilege, of course. But you're an amazing teacher, and so tell us about your coaching practice and how you're helping people.
I started when I was doing my live Grateful Goddess show. So that's actually where I met you. So once a week, I wanted to incorporate, you know, I had the podcast over COVID, but I missed the interaction part with people and the teaching component. So I curated different activities. I had different speakers and I had a weekly show, live show. And see, now I'm having one of those. Of course, it's happened. Well, everyone, this is what happens. I'm in mid-thought, and what did you ask me? What was
I asked you about your coaching practice.
Yes.
And I think you're, yeah, there's your keyword. Go ahead. There's your launch.
So I had realized after the show that people would stay on the Zoom. You know, you say goodbye and you're talking to one person, and a lot of people would stay on, and they start talking to me, and I'd start talking to them, and I realized, wow, I'm teaching I'm teaching, but I'm teaching adults now. And this is kind of fun. And this is, oh, look at, and I had certain individuals reach out to me and say, thank you. You know, one person said that they had been inside and they hadn't gone outside. Of course, this was during COVID, but she was very nervous to step outside. And I encouraged her to just go out, and she went out. And that just felt really good that I could help, you know, these individuals. So I decided to become a coach, and I studied psychology, but I didn't want to do therapy. I wanted to help. Coaching is a more forward-thinking type of experience. So you're helping people to get unstuck. And with coaching, the problems that people have aren't always what they want to work on. There's something deeper in there. It's not just like, oh, what am I going to do for my work? It's like, how can I be more confident? You know what I mean? So I love digging deeper into what it is and then helping people. So I started the program and I was way on my way, getting all my coaching hours, and then boom, had the stroke. Yeah. And I couldn't continue. I could barely string a sentence together. So I was depressed. I mean, I certainly had some down times. And I learned too, Howard, that you have to allow yourself those down times. Mm. And don't beat yourself up. I was like, I'm never gonna do this again. And it's like, no. I'm not, don't, maybe, but I'm going to rest. I'm going to work on one thing at a time, you know, little by little, just like riding a bike, just like trying a new skill. It'll be the best it'll be. And I continued tutoring with children. I continued coaching, and I haven't had anyone complain.
Well, I want to tell you that the thing that I think that I'll only reveal a small tease is that you took me through my life wheel and we prioritized. Yeah. That's what I really appreciated, that we got to the, you know, we got to really what's important to me by prioritizing on the life wheel. And I thank you for that. And also thank you for sharing about what you do when, you know, when you're feeling down, scared, or anxious as well, because we're human. But, you know, your resilience is a muscle. Okay. And I always say that I built Humpty Dumpty, you know, version 3.0 now. I'm putting them back together again. But we all get knocked down in life and in business, and also in relationships. That's the most complex one. And we have to be able to, as my book says, use our light to get back up. And once we're back up, we go help others. And this is what you've done. You're basically, you know, a model, you know, case study from my book is that you've walked with darkness, you've learned from it, you've gotten yourself back. And now you're helping others, and it's just really, it really is so beautiful. And so those of you will give you in the show notes and on socials all how to get in touch with you for your coaching, because I think it's really important. And you are so compassionate, and you are such a good listener. So that is what it really makes a good coach. All right, so this is the time of the show. I'm going to have you put sunglasses on if you don't mind. We're going to put on our shades because this is the Shining Brightly Spotlight. And of course, you're a model, so you have the best looking shades. And I want to tell people how to get in touch with you, how they should to get in touch with you for your coaching and all that. And I will include all your links, all the social links as well. And then, And then lastly, I know you have prepared an inspirational quote. So then share that and then kick the show back to me.
All right. I will kick it back to you.
Yes.
First, you can reach me many ways. You can go on my website, and it's grateful, www.gratefulgoddesses.com, goddesses, and you'll have it right written out. Some people, you know, make mistakes. So goddesses.com. Yes. You can also email me personally, Karen Pulver, Pulver at yahoo.com. And my quote,
Wait, before that, you have a giveaway.
Right.
Do your giveaway.
My giveaway is I'm going to give away a discovery session with me. It's valued at $125, and we can do this by Zoom, and we can just get, you know, talk with each other and see something that you want to work through, and I can help guide you there. And then if you'd like to continue with me as you did, then we can continue.
I love it. All righty. Let's share some inspiration with me. What you got?
Okay, it's hard to see out of these glasses.
Take the glasses off. We're shining enough. If you can.
You've always had the power, my dear. You just have to learn it for yourself. So this is a bag my sister-in-law got me, but this I live by. And okay. My past and Grateful Goddesses is all about this. And my life, really. Because in The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy, all the characters wanted all of these things, right? They wanted intelligence, heart,
courage, a brain.
And they kept thinking, the wizard's going to give it to me. Oh, Dorothy's going to go home because the wizard's going to give it. And we all think that in our lives, right?
Yeah.
If only we had this, then we get this. If only this, and we're going to strive towards someone else telling us. Well, we all had it. At the end, they had it in themselves, right? Because the wizard says, well, actually, you are smart, and actually, you are brave, and actually, Dorothy, you just have to click your heels, and then you'll be home. So I feel that we all have the power within us. And as a coach, as a teacher, I'm going to help guide you to find that power.
It's great. It's using the Wizard of Oz to say, yes, you have it within you and you can do it. It's beautiful. It really is. All right. Well, this has been a really important show. And I'm just so glad you came on and told your stories and are lifting up others. It's such a beautiful thing. So, I got to shout out a few folks that helped me along the way. So my publisher, Front Edge Publishing, readthespirit.com, which comes out every Monday. And I blog in that usually almost every week. And then my finishing house for my podcast is Amplify You. And they just make me look so good. And I want to say thank you to them for making me look good. And then how to get a hold of me is shiningbrightly.com. And you can find the book, you can find the podcast, and also the motivational speaking. And then most importantly, my advocacy, like my work in cancer, my work with entrepreneurship and mentorship and leadership, and then lastly, my interfaith relations work. And those are the things that really matter at the end of the day. So let's all just try to shine brightly a little bit more for ourselves, go lift up others in our communities, in our neighborhoods, and yes, the world would be a better place. Karen Pulver, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Shining Brightly with me, Howard Brown. Come interact with me at shiningbrightly.com. And remember, keep on shining.